Seltzer, I believe the breaking news sounder is about to happen.
Extra, read all about it.
James, take it.
Shams Charania, just in. Joel Embiid says he is signing a contract extension with the Philadelphia 76ers. It will be a 3-year, $193 million maximum extension with a player option for 2028-2029 season.
All right, let's do some math here. So through 28-29, so through 29, the next season is 25. So he will be under contract 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, so 5 years. So Embiid at what age now? 30?
30 or 31, I'll check.
Okay, we'll look into that. But he is now going to be officially under contract with the Sixers for 5 more seasons. Okay. Look,
30, he turns 31 in March.
Okay, so he will be through the age of 35. I'm fine with it. Is it risky? Heck yeah. He's going to decline, obviously. He's not going to be the player at 35 that he is at 31. But to me, it's the price of doing business in the NBA. You know, you do have, when healthy, still one of the absolute best players in the world for at least the next 2 or 3 years.
And that's an appealing factor for luring big-time players from other teams and locales. That could be the difference. Hey, look, we got Joel locked up for the next 5 years. Let's build greatness around him. Let's go win a world championship or two.
Devin, your reaction on Embiid sticking with the Sixers long-term?
I love it. I love it. I think it keeps him happy. I think it, you know, gives him more longevity here in Philly, more consistency, which even he noted this past offseason that he really hasn't had during his time with the Sixers so far. So I'm happy with it. I feel like I'm probably the biggest Joel Embiid fan on the show. So I'm thrilled that they extended him.
All right, so Rhea, I know you're
Did
probably
you tell
the least...
Joel that you loved him?
Yeah, like John did.
I would tell him I loved him.
Well,
I did
tell Joel
you
that
did?
I loved him.
When?
So I think maybe I'm the biggest Joel fan on the show.
Well,
I told him.
No, I'm the biggest Joel fan. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
From the stands.
James, I know that is false.
He ignored me.
I love Joel. I love Joel.
He ignored me, so I'm pretty sure he heard me.
When
and
was
just
this?
Completely
Where was this?
Ignored
four
my
year,
friend
five
from
ago.
High school is now
a, game.
A doctor. He called me up. He said, "John, do you want you want to go watch the Sixers game with me?" This is when we first started doing the midday show.
Yep.
So I meet up with Ashish, and it's like, "Holy cow, Ashish! We're on the floor, man! Like you're doing pretty well for yourself coming from Mechanicsburg to the floor at the Sixers game." So there we were during the national anthem, standing right next to Joel, and I could not.
Did you try to touch him?
I couldn't help myself. I didn't touch
him. That would
him.
Be over the line.
I touched him with my voice, and I said, "Joel, I love you."
Did you whisper it like that?
Yeah, because it was in between notes of the national anthem.
All right, so Rhea, let me
ignored me.
Let me address you, because you are the biggest Joel not fan.
Yes.
And of which there's, you know, 20-25% of people.
It's not an exclusive club.
It's not an exclusive. That's right. And that is a club. It's not a big Joel fan. Yeah. All right. So, Rhea, I want to get your reaction in a moment, but I want to say this. One of my thoughts is that maybe will help the youths of the world that don't love him and thought should have traded him a year ago.
Yeah.
This maybe makes it easier to trade him if you have to. Because the team that gets him has him under contract. And
depends
it's not...
on what kind of health he's in.
No, that's right. You're right about that. But, like, play it out for another year. Let's say Paul George is the next Chris Webber and he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, it's not really going to work. Let's move off Joel. Like, when there have been some players in recent years, and James Harden is one of them, that don't have many years left in their deal. Kawhi's another one when he went to Toronto. Yeah. Not much time left. And so you get him, but then you lose him. Do you buy an argument that signing them long term may help them trade them if need be?
No, and it just
cynic.
Until they get past the second round, this extension does zero for me, because I just whatever they do in the regular season doesn't matter to me anymore. It really doesn't.
No, I agree with that.
You're going to drop 70 and woohoo!
Look, we know they're going to win. As long as he's healthy, they're going to win between 50 to 58 games.
Correct.
And 58 would be on the high side. They never have. But theoretically could if they have, a good Paul George and a 70-something game Joel Embiid.
Like, are they going to beat the Celtics?
Probably not. But I got to say this. I got to see the Paul George thing and the revamped bench. It should be the best team
they've had. They definitely have a better bench.
I think this will be the best team they've had in this whole 8-year
run. I don't even think it's a question. I mean, you never know. But, like, at least roster-wise, I don't think
Paul
it's a question.
If Paul George is still pretty damn good, Jamie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I agree. But even
because
still,
Jimmy
just
was really,
bench,
the best team they've had is 2019.
Agreed.
And Jimmy was really good. Yeah. He was really good.
So, yeah, but Maxey, I know Simmons was better than him, but Maxey's better than Simmons.
Yep. Maxey continues to take another step.
That's right.
Kelly Oubre can continue to get a little advanced.
Okay. All right. So,
we're talented.
We'll take your reaction on Embiid signed for 5 more seasons, a 3-year extension, 5 years to go, and your reaction to that. Plus, the Eagles, obviously, as we look ahead to Sunday, who do you think wins the game? We got Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season in Armin. Available 1.9% financing on all 2024 light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Who wins Sunday, Eagles or Saints? Second poll question, if it's just between these two, where would you rather the Sixers play, A, Camden, or B, Center City, Philadelphia? Let's talk to Tom in Springfield. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Joe, a.k.a. The Hammer. Congrats
Thank you, sir.
On your win this morning.
Thank you again,
sir. You really mean that, Tom. You really mean congrats.
I do. Listen, to win 261 times is no small accomplishment. And, you know, he got it done despite, you know, being sleep deprived, which is there's something.
Oh my God!
Thank you. I can't believe you bought that hook, line, and sinker. It's like you really think that's holding him back,
Tom. You know what it reminds me of? You might not know the name Jack Youngblood, but he played for the Rams.
Stop. No way!
Jack Youngblood
immediately.
He played in the Super Bowl with a broken leg. The Hammer.
Joe, let's not get nuts. Okay,
Trust me when I tell you, there's a lot of shame right here.
That might be too far.
Next thing you know, you're going to be telling me you're T.O. and you got your hyperbaric chamber and yada, yada, yada. So,
something like that.
Let's not get nuts.
Yeah.
I was at the Eagles game Monday night. So I got to see all my suffering live and in person. I feel like they lost that on 2 plays. And one of them, and it was not the interception. The first of which is not taking points in the first half when you should have kicked the field goal.
That was big. Yep.
Which was stupid. Secondly, I think that
now that it's played out.
Yeah, well, it's early in the game. Take the
you
point.
Thought it at the time. Point. I respect it, Tom. I think it was the most questionable of the calls. I do believe that.
And then the next one is, and I'm gonna call out your boy Jason Avant here in a second. But instead of throwing that whatever you want to call it, dump pass, flat pass to Saquon, and he drops it.
Flat. Okay?
So first off, if you run the ball there and he gets the first down, you win the game. But it also keeps the clock running. They declined earlier in that series to keep the clock running.
Correct.
So keep the clock running. If the whole point is keep the clock running, you don't throw the ball. You keep the ball on the ground.
Tom, I'm just going to ask you this question.
Okay.
I give you a scenario on Sunday. The ball is in the exact same circumstance, and it is floating to an open Saquon Barkley, who's about 10 yards from Jalen Hurts. If he catches it, you win the game. If he drops it, you lose the game. Do you take that scenario?
Yes.
Okay. Me too.
So, and just to, like I said, just to throw a little shade at Avant, so he had a 10-year career with 346 receptions and 13 touchdowns. He also had 6 fumbles and 4 of which were lost. Now,
well, he wasn't as good as Saquon, but he's talking about technique and concentration.
I'm coming with all the stats.
Go ahead.
Okay. Guess what? So Saquon now in 7 years, or 6.5 if you want to call it that, 6 and whatever it is, 217, also has 13 receiving touchdowns. So, Jason, we're going to throw a little shade at him.
Tom, I'm going to throw this shade back at you. Bill Belichick and Vince Lombardi and Bill Walsh didn't play pro football.
Correct.
And they're probably 3 of the greatest coaches of all time. Like, you can evaluate football without being good at it or spectacular.
I mean, most of the great coaches now, whether it's Shanahan, McVay, like all these guys, they didn't play in the NFL.
No, I know. No, Avant's not a coach, but, you know.
Don't talk about catching the ball when you didn't do it that much in 10 years.
Okay, so then me, Joe, and Devin can't talk about it.
Yeah, good point. How about you, Tom?
Great at catching the ball.
Tom, do you get to comment on catching the ball?
I did.
Great point,
Tom,
Joe.
Give me an answer. A notable club for the Phillies tickets Monday night.
So the first rule about Fight Club is we don't talk about.
Oh man,
big answer.
That's another big one. Tom, entertaining phone call, man. Uh-huh. By the way, true or false? When that game is played Monday night, the Phillies will still not have clinched the playoff spot.
Don't say that.
What a great song. Great decade as well. All right.
You like this song?
I do.
What movie is it from?
I get him confused. Well, there's a couple, and they all kind of run together.
No, it's the Breakfast Club.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say Pretty in Pink. This is Breakfast Club. Yeah. Pretty in Pink was
the
very
fist
good
up well. In the air job, at the end of the buddy. Movie, buddy.
Terrible job.
I know.
But everyone knows this is Breakfast Club.
Well, I get him confused. I mean, Pretty in Pink.
How?
Because Pretty was in Pink. Where Pink was pretty. Or something like that. I went to a Dance with Pink, by the way. You know that?
Did you?
No, you did not.
Yeah, Philadelphia Zone, Pink.
Wait,
you
what?
Went to a dance mm-hmm. with your cousin, and then you went to a dance,
you went
with,
to a dance that she was at.
Is I, went, Pink your I went with my date, and she went with her.
Is Pink your cousin?
Oh, no, Pink was at a dance that the Hammer was at. You know, I mean.
What dance was it?
Oh, I have no clue. I didn't. I mean, of course, we didn't know at the time. Like, I was told years later, oh, by the way, Pink was at one of those. You know, I don't know if it was a prom or
no
whatever
way.
It was. Yeah.
My grandpa actually. My grandpa dropped a story like that recently. We were at dinner, and he's like, I was at a dance once with Grace Kelly. Like,
that's
as his
cool.
date, though.
What?
As his date.
No
yeah.
way.
One of the most beautiful
as
women in the world?
Date? Yeah. We now, were like, what? He's like, yeah, she needed a date, and I got set up with her.
Your
and,
grandpa?
Oh, went out yeah. with her. Oh, like,
got
actually,
her
was
to
the,
a date.
Does he feel
dance,
like he...
A dance.
Wow.
Does
he
wow.
feel
wow.
like maybe he should have tried a little harder?
Right? yeah,
I mean,
maybe.
Grace Kelly.
Come on,
Rich. You went on a date with Grace Kelly. You're
married a prince.
That's pretty cool. Now, Devin, is this the son of the couple that...
Was on the Titanic.
And would have died if
yes.
if wow. they had died on the Titanic, yes. but survived.
Yes, he is.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. For those that yeah. don't know, Devin would not be here if not for someone in 1912 surviving the Titanic.
This yeah. man.
No, the,
well,
the man's.
Well, he's the son of the woman who survived.
Yeah, the man's mom.
His mom
That's
was
so
on.
Yeah, crazy.
The great-grandmom was the Titanic
This is really interesting. You know, I have a very interesting relative from this period also.
Really?
It was my great-uncle... who was orphaned. My great-grandfather okay. was orphaned and got adopted by Amish farmers.
Okay.
And so he just got put to work. His older brother joined the army, went into the Rough Riders, and was with Teddy Roosevelt during the Spanish-American
wow.
War.
Rough Rider.
And ended up being like a man involved with law enforcement to where the president pardoned him.
Oh, he did something bad. He was a bad boy.
No, it was just something
bad
with,
boy.
It was something with legalities.
Not a P.
And
not a P. Diddy yeah. bad
His
boy.
Old war buddy from Whoa. The White House.
Right? You got
him.
That, Seltzer?
Yeah, but
dude,
yeah,
like, can I ask you a question?
This conversation
is
just took
is P. Diddy done?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
he's yeah. way
they
past
got him.
Done.
In jail for the rest
I
of his life.
It enough yeah. to know,
he's way beyond
Joe,
done.
It's so bad.
Wow.
You but
it's worse than you could possibly think it is.
And the rumors have been out there for years. For years they've been out there. And when that girl ex-girlfriend finally went after him like a year or so ago,
wow.
that's when they just had enough to go after
him. All right, let's get calls in here. Also coming up shortly will be Ruben Frank as we get ready for the Eagles and Saints. We're going to get to what Rob Thompson said about Taiwan Walker this segment as well. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Joe. Congratulations on the Beat the Hammer victory.
You don't have
totally
to do that.
Thank you, sir.
He's going to make a joke.
Totally
Give him a chance.
Totally unrelated question.
What?
You played Madden on rookie level all
nope,
the time.
Nope. I never played
up,
Madden
right?
my whole life. I played Tecmo Bowl.
Okay.
I'm stuck in the 80s and 90s.
But yes,
in this case,
it's the same concept.
The
I bet he does play Tecmo Bowl on whatever the lowest setting is.
So
and he keeps playing the same guy.
Did I ruin your little joke there, Ed? A little punchline ready? It's all ruined?
No, I was just. You took a lot of pleasure
in the possibility
I
of ruining
no,
his punchline.
Seltzer said he was going to take a shot at me. Okay, don't bite.
Jeez.
I needed fresh material because a colleague, I won't name his name, it starts with J and ends in Ack Fritz, called me out for cheating a joke. So
that's good. I do like that style of humor. All right, Ed, what do you got? We got an Eagles-Saints game. I think the Birds are going to lose. Where are you at here?
Well, I'm going to throw out some John Ritchie-style unwarred confidence like he does with Jalen Hurts all the time. I'm going to say Jordan Davis, the big cat, eats on Sunday. I'm thinking 3 tackles for loss and a sack. He wakes up.
Wow.
I'm going to speak it into existence.
They know what? You know what?
Whatever.
Ed, his presence, his tough play against the run, you don't have to do it all day. You have to do it in the first quarter and dissuade the Saints from what they're comfortable doing, which is pounding that rock. He can alter their approach to this game.
Look, he proved in the first 6 weeks last year or thereabout that he can play in this league.
Yeah.
But he has to be in shape.
He has to be a lot better motivated. Than what he's been in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, his technique's got to be good. I mean, I don't quite know.
And he has to bend those knees.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Ed, give me a great answer. A notable club, there are still huge answers available.
I don't think there's a more hallowed club in the world of sport than the Downtown Athletic Club.
Oh, that's another big one. That is a really big answer, the Heisman Trophy with the Downtown Athletic Club. Good stuff right there.
Great one.
Speaking of football, I'm just going to say these five words. I encourage everyone to think about them during the 3 hours that the Eagles game is played. By the way, I almost fell out of my chair this week when I found out the Eagles play a Sunday game from 1 to 4.
Back-to-back weeks, no less. Next week, too.
I almost didn't make it to Friday morning. The shock.
Isn't it for a few? Like, we might have
four weeks in a row, then the bye week, and then the Cleveland game, too.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, when you watch this game from 1 to 4 on Sunday,
just
remember these five words about Jalen Hurts. Step up. Not step out
Amen.
Of the pocket.
Hey, don't you think his coaches step are also up. Reminding him of this?
Yes, but I think
and
they have
to do it it'll
for
pay
a couple
off.
Years, John. Couple
I believe
years
it'll
now.
Pay off. Yeah. Well, he's got different coaches now. Kellen Moore is a different coach. He's only had him for two
That's
games.
That's true. That's true.
And they will correct it.
Okay. All right. So step up, not step out. Think about it on Sunday. Or hopefully we don't think about it on Sunday if he's not reminding us that he often doesn't do it. Reuben Frank with us coming up in 1 minute.
Hey, Philly, you know I've been telling you about my friends at the Busch Auto Group for a while now. Well, if it's been a minute since you've considered a Nissan, I'm telling you now's the time to go and see them. With six new Nissan models under $30,000 and two locations in Limerick and Exton, quality and affordability are right around the corner. This month, save up to $10,000 on select Nissan models. The deals are dropping like the leaves over there right now. And trust me, I've been a customer myself. The team at Busch Auto Group knows how to treat you right. They're awesome to work with, and they just want to help you find the perfect vehicle for you. So head on over to either their two Nissan locations at Exton Nissan and Nissan 422 of Limerick today to save big, or view their wide selection of new and pre-owned vehicles online at BushAutoGroup.com. That's BushAutoGroup.com. And when you go, tell them John Ritchie sent you. Philly rides with us.
All right, from Borgato on this Friday morning, Phil's still trying to make the playoffs. Eagles trying to get to 2-1 this Sunday. Reuben Frank has seen a lot of Eagle seasons, you know, covering the Birds for a while now. NBC Sports Philadelphia, of course, one of our own here on WIP. First time we've talked to him in the season this year, Mr. Reuben Frank. Good morning, Rube.
Guys, how's it going?
We're doing good. So, Rube, I referenced that you've seen seasons because I want to start with this reality and just put this out there before we go any further. The 1995 Eagles, as you know, started 1-3, made the playoffs, won a playoff game. The 03 Eagles started 0-2, got to 12 wins, won a playoff game. The 2013 Eagles started 1-3, got to the playoffs. I say that to say early season struggles can be misleading at times. To that, I ask you, Reuben, did we as a town overreact to just one loss, or is it actually as bad as a lot of us kind of think?
Didn't you ask me that at 4 o'clock Sunday?
So true.
Yeah, it's hard to tell this early, and you're right. I mean, we've seen a lot of teams kind of figure things out as they go, and this is a new team with a lot of new players and new coaches, new schemes and all that, but I mean, that was really bad. I mean, you give up a 70-yard touchdown drive.
Yeah.
That never should have happened. And I think coming on the heels of last year's blown leads and the concern that this is in these guys' heads now, that if we're up with 2 minutes left in a one-possession game, somebody's going to mess up and we're going to lose this game. That's my biggest concern is just that. And, you know, and this is the thing Nick's supposed to be good at is kind of setting that culture. But I worry about that part of it. And if they're up three on Sunday with 2 minutes left, let's see how they respond.
Our defense got destroyed by the weak side zone run. How do we fix that? And what prevents teams like the Saints and every team we play moving forward from making that the template against our defense?
Yeah, I mean, the only answer, you're not going to get new players. You know, you drafted all these guys, you know, in the first round, and you got a lot of assets devoted to that defensive line, both draft picks and financially. I don't know. You can't get different players, so you just got to hope they can figure some things out. And, and be more Simon sound and make plays. I don't know beyond that. I mean, they have what they have. They've got better linebackers than last year, but not good linebackers. So
we thought they were great after week one. Man, felt like they sort of fell off a bit in week two. This whole idea,
they gave
this week,
29 points in week one. It's not like they shut down the Packers either.
True that. So Vic Fangio, is he performing up to snuff, or is it the players who are underperforming? This week, we've heard a lot about Clint Kubiak and this Saints offense. Who wins that matchup, Clint Kubiak versus Vic Fangio?
Yeah, I don't think any of this is on Vic. I think that the talent is it's there. It's not meshing. It's not developing. I go right to the three Georgia guys. I mean, for me, that's where it starts. Bryce Huff, the three Georgia guys, they're just underachieving so much. And at some point, maybe it's not underachieving. It's just
They are. Bryce Huff, is this his identity? I don't know. Is he capable?
Putting him in a role that he's not capable of. And the whole narrative was he was going to learn it. He was going to get better at it. But he can't play the run. He can't play on first down. You can't put him out there. I don't care how much you paid him.
So we're back to where the Jets were last year.
Yeah, exactly. Except you're paying him more. And you don't have, you don't have Reddick. So when you look at Howie's moves on defense over the last couple of years, you got to wonder. I mean, between the Georgia guys and Bryce Huff and all that.
And Rube, your phone's zapping out there for a second, but we got you back here. So, Rube, let me ask you this about Bryce Huff, and you're going to be the second person this week I've asked this question to. I don't know the answer, and you probably don't, but I'm going to ask it. Is he trying his hardest?
I think the effort's there. Which is, I wish it wasn't, because that would be an easy fix.
Right.
But, the effort's there. He's just getting washed out just every snap. I kind of was concerned about the run stuff, but the fact that he's getting washed out as a pass rusher, that's even more concerning, because he's a guy who had 10 sacks last year, so you kind of expect him to pressure the quarterback, but that's just not happening either.
Ruben, let me ask you about Jalen Hurts. I'm curious, early part of year 5 of his career now, do you feel the arrow is pointing up, down, or just holding steady where it was last year, however that would be defined?
Yeah, he's a tough one because he's done some good things in both games. And there's been moments where he's kind of like, oh, this is the Jalen of 2022.
Yeah.
And you feel good about where he is. And there's clearly something there. He's got something special. But then, he just keeps sabotaging it with these mistakes late in games. Just unnecessary risks. So I do consider that he's played for like 17 different offensive coordinators and all that, but I don't think it's pointing too far down, but it's certainly not pointing up. I think he'll always be a functional, good quarterback, but I know he's capable of more, and I don't know what it's going to take. It's going to take him. I mean, he's got weapons around him. Obviously, he missed AJ the other day, but I think Kellen's a good coordinator. He's got a good position coach. He should be better than he's playing. And
so it sounds like the offense is not where you expected it to be, Ruben. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, I expect a little bit more. The turnover certainly have derailed a lot of good-looking drives. The defense, you kind of knew they were going to have some growing pains and some struggles with all the newness. I thought they were going to be unstoppable on offense, and they've been pretty good. At times, but they haven't been unstoppable, and that's because of the turnovers. So they're still averaging 27 points a game. I figure if they can clean up the turnovers, Jalen can find a way to stop throwing these interceptions, and that are all just, they're not like great plays by the defense. They're just like really bad judgment. Yep. So if he can clean that up, they have the O-line's been great. Saquon, even with the drop, has been really good, really good. They have the weapons. They have everything in place to be like a 32 points per game offense. Just can't turn the ball over.
Ruben, who wins the game Sunday?
Well, until the Eagles prove they can stop somebody, I'm going to go with the Saints. And they're scary what they can do on offense. And, it's a short week. It's a road trip. the Saints on that fast field down at the Superdome, you know, they got Olave, they got Rashid Shaheed, and they got Kamara. They just got so many weapons, and the Eagles haven't stopped anybody yet.
Yep.
So maybe, like Joe said in the open, I mean, we've seen, like the Miami game, like they were averaging like 40 points a game, and they, you know, the Eagles held them like, what, 13, 14? So it can happen. If they go out there and play well, they can, you know, they certainly play better than the first two games. They can be in the game, but I have to see it before I can pick them to win.
They need players to play better. Ruben, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you this season a lot. Thanks, Ruben.
All right, guys.
I can't believe we're where we are. Ruben's saying we're going to lose this game. You're saying we're going to lose this game. The Saints, yeah, they're better than what everyone expected, but everyone thought the NFC South was going to be a disaster. Like, they are better than what was expected. They are not world beaters.
Can I give you a headline?
They beat the Panthers, and they beat a Dallas team that quit.
Can I give you a headline?
Yeah.
There's a legitimate chance Derek Carr is better than Jalen Hurts.
No,
there is.
Derek Carr has always been a good quarterback.
That's inconsistent. The big
secret. He has been. I agree, Ray.
He's got the talent, but he's never put it together.
You know who else is inconsistent?
Well, Jordan, Jalen. Yeah. Well, yeah. But Carr's been in the league a lot longer.
No, I know. I get it. All right, Bat's Up Time Machine coming up shortly. Let's talk to Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
Joe. I played the chicken audio for my wife last night while we were enjoying a nice bottle of Pinot. And if I could describe the look on her face to you, it was priceless. It would be in a museum. And she finally just said, "What does this guy look like?" And so I had to look up your picture on the internet and show it to her.
All right. Well, listen. I heard from a lot of people about yesterday's two pieces of audio that we played, and I know it was not my finest moments. Where it was entertaining radio as I stepped in it.
It's the moment I fell in love with this show, Joe.
Oh, you guys thanks, Ken. I appreciate that.
You guys were still on the midday at the time. So.
We sure were. All right, Ken, the Eagles, are you worried?
Well, I mean, the first month of the NFL season is a liar. You're never as good as you look at your best. You're never as bad as you look at your worst. That's why there's 17 games. The Saints are better than we expected them to be. The whole division, other than the Panthers, is better than we expected them to be.
Yeah.
But they're still not better than the Eagles.
No. Nope.
I think the Eagles are going to win this game. This is the kind of game that has kind of throughout. And I'm going to say it because it's true. Throughout Nick Sirianni's career as the head coach of Philadelphia Eagles, these are the kinds of games that the Eagles have typically won. The kinds of games where people are writing them off on the road. It looks like a tough game.
For the first 2.5 years, that's right. Until last year, that's fair. Until the end of last year, I mean. Yeah, no, look, they were 2-5 and 3-6 in 2021, and they came out of that hole. So, you know, I agree. He's shown that, and they've shown that. All right, Ken, we got to move. We got a lot happening here. Give me an answer for a notable club.
Well, in honor of the star of the show, James Seltzer, I'm going to go with Club Soda.
Club Soda.
That's love it, Ken. Great
answer. That's another club. All right, coming up here in 1 minute, Bat's Up Time Machine. There's a lot of history, and I mean a lot, of the Eagles in the Superdome. That's coming up in 1 minute's time. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center with their decades of experience in complex dental treatment. I've been a patient at PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there. For 3 decades with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center, also the originators of the Teeth in a Day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. Let me make this real simple for you. If you got a big problem, you require a real solution to a big issue, know that PI Dental Center, they can provide it for you. But you got to get yourself there. They're located in Fort Washington. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. Well, when it comes to visiting, and by the way, as we broadcast today from Borgata, and good morning to you, and I wish Taiwan Walker wasn't a Philly, but he is. I've gotten those jabs in a couple times here today. I just got to slide the Taiwan thing in. Visiting has not gone, for the most part, well for the Philadelphia Eagles in New Orleans. Let's take a dip together inside the bathtub time machine. The Eagles, and often the Saints, but not always the Saints, the Eagles in the Louisiana Superdome. All right. Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. Long about a Saturday. Let's hope Sunday night we're taking a celebration bath for a victory. But far too often, ladies and gentlemen, when the Eagles have played down there.
You take celebration baths?
I take the Eagles loss, and I got to get it out of my. I got to go read a book and take a bath.
No.
So
you take loss?
I do.
Baths
sometimes.
More often than celebration baths?
Cold weather and all that, I do. All right. So I've had a lot of baths to take when the Eagles don't play well. Now I'm too young to remember 1980. But, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say it. There have been some good, but there's been a lot of bad. Let's get into it here. Because the Eagles in New Orleans, I mean, one of the worst losses in the history of the franchise happened not against the Saints, but against the Raiders. Super Bowl 15. The Eagles lost a Super Bowl in this freaking venue. And I don't think we need to, you know, go through the whole thing.
Yeah, not dwell on it. Yeah.
Okay, but like, let's just say it wasn't close. 27-10.
They're a little tight.
That has always been the word. So, all right. So, Eagles, obviously, that's the most notable thing down there. But they've also lost in recent years a lot of playoff games down there. How about 06? Now, this was, of course, after Katrina, which is a whole nother reality. I don't watch a game in the Superdome without thinking of Katrina and what a sad, awful situation it was as thousands piled in there that were displaced, obviously, during the storm. 2006, the Eagles lost. No, Garcia did his thing, but Drew Brees did his thing, just a little bit more. And Andy Reid punted the ball at 4th and 15 instead of going for it after that penalty when the Eagles converted on 4th and 10. Punted, Eagles never got the ball back. With that said, we did have one phenomenal moment to celebrate that day.
Reggie Bush lines up as the tailback. Brees swings it out to Bush, and the ball is knocked away, and an incomplete pass, and a crunching hit put on by Sheldon Brown, and Bush takes a while to get up.
And I got to say this, not the finest call by Dick Stockton. Like, I'm a big Dick Stockton fan, great announcer.
Oh, you're the one.
Great announcer, but like, I need, Sheldon freaking rocked Reggie Bush, but we didn't get that.
We need Gus Johnson on that call.
I mean, really, James, that call was undercalled there by Dick Stockton.
Big time!
I mean, because that was an all-time hit.
It was one of the greatest hits I've ever seen.
It was. Eagles lost the game, as they frequently do down there, as they did in 2018 in the postseason. By the way, look, this had another incredibly memorable moment, and this one on the totally opposite side of the ledger. Alshon, let's go.
Oh, takes the snap again. He steps up. He lets it fly, and it is intercepted. It is intercepted. It is picked off, and going back with the football to the 34-yard line, the Saints have it. It is Marshall and Latimer, and that may be the game.
That was
it. The ball goes right through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey and into the hands of Marshawn Lattimore.
That was the moment you knew, defending champs, it would be no more. That was a crusher. As the Eagles lost to the Saints. But I'll tell you this. They don't always lose down there. They often do. But there have been memorable games, including one in particular, on the good side of the ledger. Because I got to tell you, in the early 1990s, the Eagles played a game down there that we as a team, as a fan base, that is, really needed. Eagles hadn't made the playoffs but kept losing with Buddy. Hadn't won a playoff game since Vermeil. Been over a decade, actually. And in 1992, the Eagles, as they were trying to bring it home for Jerome, of course, and still had Randall and Reggie and, you know, most of the crew from that group, right? A wild card game in New Orleans that was flat out wild. Now, the Eagles were down early, and they were down big. They were down 20-10 at the half, but it certainly wasn't Fred Barnett's fault, because in the first half, he put up a TD.
Walker is the deep back. Sherman in front of him. They didn't have the play. Couldn't hear it because of the noise, so they checked with Cunningham. He's going for a bunch. Fred Barnett. Touchdown. That'll quiet him down from 57 yards away.
Well, it quieted them down for a bit, but the problem was the Eagles didn't play a good first half. So at halftime, they're down big. By the way, fourth quarter, they're still down big. The Eagles enter the fourth quarter down 10, 20-10. And then one of the most furious and incredible rallies the Eagles have ever put together in a big spot. It starts with Fred Barnett's second TD that day.
Cunningham going deep. Touchdown. Fred Barnett, a diving catch, spectacular catch. From 35 yards away. They had him covered.
zone. He can do it against double coverage. Here it is again. They have double coverage. They have two guys on him. Fred Barnett goes up and catches the ball.
Love it. And, of course, you guys know Fred Barnett, John, my best friend.
Oh, yeah.
As very he close. Says, he said last year on WIP, I am his best friend. And that's
man,
that's a point
guys
of pride.
Are going way back.
Was he serious?
Where
about
were
that?
You when he was catching that touchdown?
I was in my mom's bedroom at a family party watching that game.
Wow.
The hardcore fans migrated away from the masses. There was about seven or eight of us. We're like, everyone else, leave us alone. We are going upstairs, and it is like it is on. Because look, the Eagles are down. Freddie B with the touchdown. Heath Sherman with the touchdown. How about Reggie White getting in on the action?
It's 3rd and 23 here now. That's why Reggie White is an impact player, and that goes all the way back to the first play in the fourth quarter. Say Bear in the end zone. That could be a safety.
Oh, yeah.
That is a safety. Reggie White.
That was a huge moment. And by the way, this was an incredible turnaround because then a Roger Ruzek field goal, then one more to totally cap it off.
Here's Bear back to throw. Off by Eric Allen. And get ready for Dallas. The Eagles, 35-29.
That was an interception return for a touchdown. And by the way, a 26-0 fourth quarter by the Eagles to salvage that game.
I was distraught at the beginning of that
quarter.
Oh, I remember. It was
right?
bad. It was real bad.
Unbelievable. But look, an incredible comeback. Yeah. Really, one of the greatest Eagles have ever had. 26-0
Third and 23, the Reggie sack. Could the Eagles defense try to get them in a long count so they could actually get
Here's
to the
problem. Reggie White, Bryce Huff.
And a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, a little bit of a difference. And that, ladies and gentlemen, as they rekindle. Oh it's gosh. Kind of a rivalry, but often a house of horrors. They rekindle it this weekend. The Eagles and the Saints. And that was a trip inside the bathtub time machine for this Friday morning. Thank you very much.
There is no one, thank you, Joe. There is no one who is less like Reggie White as a pass rusher than Bryce Huff. Think about that. Think about what Reggie was greatest at.
It was everything.
He could manhandle you physically. He would just toss you aside.
Yeah.
Bryce Huff feels like he is so overwhelmed physically every snap against the run.
Look, this is an important game because if he doesn't show at game three, then we really got a major issue. By the way, we don't have a major issue in the phone lines. My best friend's on the phone. Fred Barnett. Good morning, Freddie.
Yo.
Is this Arkansas, Fred?
WIP. What's up, guys?
WIP. How are you, Fred?
Good, Joe. I miss you, man.
Thank you. Oh,
do you really, Fred? Yeah. I mean, do you really?
I miss my buddy. Joe calls me every day, so I don't miss him.
Fred, I got to tell you, I've kind of done you dirty the last year because I think it was tongue in cheek, reference me as your best friend. I repeat that with frequency on WIP, and I guess by that way, I besmirch your name. It's not intentional, but that's a point of pride for me. You know, we're boys.
I understand.
I apologize for what that must feel like.
Hey, Fred, let's talk about, hey, do we have a team this year, man? Like, we thought we did, and now it's kind of concerning out of the gate. What do you make so far of this squad?
You know, interestingly, first of all, it's early, and everybody should know that. You take note that it's early. You know, we make a few mistakes here and there. You know, when I look at, sometimes I look at games like, as if they're plays within the game. You know, you screw up one play, you got the whole game to finish. Mm-hmm. You know, you screw up one game, you got the season to finish. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm hoping, of course, that we get on track. It seems that defensively, you know, we're not quite, you know, finishing plays here or there.
No.
Offensively, it's so interesting to watch as an ex-player, and even probably for some of the fans. From an offensive standpoint, it's like you see what they should do, and you think it's coming. And it's like, okay, why did they do that?
Why?
Just run the ball, you know. So it's kind of confusing. But hopefully, they get on track.
Fred, as a receiver, Dallas Goedert is just so supremely talented. Why is it that they can't seem to get going, Jalen and Goddard?
You know, it depends on what the play selection is. It depends on what the game plan is in terms of the plays. You go in with a strategic plan offensively against a defense, and then you start to say, okay, here's the guy we're going to feature. We maybe feature Saquon, Goddard,
who
I'm ready to feature Dallas
Goedert. I agree, man. Especially with no AJ, Fred. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, let's say you're out of a game, but Keith Jackson's in there. Get the ball to Keith Jackson a lot. I mean, come on.
Exactly. It'll be great to see the game plan. Of course, we'll never see it.
Sure.
But the game plan of who's involved more. And based on who's involved more, lets you know the mindset of which our offensive coordinator has, our team has against their defense. Like, what was the game plan against their defense? And it seems like, wow, you know, it's I don't know.
Fred, are you getting concerned on Jalen? I mean, I've been concerned for some time where people are now. Are you getting increasingly concerned about him this year and his future with the Birds?
You know, right now, no. I think this season would be a telltale season. I as a fan now, you know, who when I played, I showed a lot of emotion. My teammates showed a lot of emotion. And I think sometimes you get kind of pigeonholed in the way you play and what you're kind of looking for, and you see him after a game, after a win, even and especially after a loss. There's like no level of, you know, emotion there, and it's just a different time, man. When they lost this game, I'm watching the players interact with each other. I'm saying to myself, there's no way we would be just laughing we'd shake hands, but we'd be pissed off. We'd be pissed off about a game that we're supposed to win.
And even if you weren't, Seth Joyner would not permit you to smile after the game.
You know, we just had a different mentality back then, and I think, you know, when I listen to guys like Seth and listen to guys like, you know, guys that I played with, you know, they're so kind of disgruntled about the team because it's like it's not that same mindset.
Yeah.
You know, although we didn't go to the Super Bowl, but at the same time too, you know, we had some power in the league back then that we had to contend with.
Yeah, the division was unbelievable with Washington, eventually Dallas, and obviously the Giants.
Gosh.
It was incredible. Hey, Fred, thanks for hopping on the program. Thanks for the victory in 92.
No problem.
You know, for those that don't know, if you're not old enough to know, Fred, in the Eagles only won two playoff games in the 90s. Arkansas, Fred, two touchdowns in both playoff games. 92 against the Saints, 95 against the Lions, which was incredible as well. Fred, thanks for hopping on the show, man. Stay well. I'll see you soon.
Pleasure.
All right, buddy. There he is.
I didn't realize that, Joe. It's a good nugget.
Yeah, I don't know how many did it. Alshon did it in one game versus
in the championship game against the Vikings.
He might be the only one. I mean, did Ertz ever have two touchdowns twice?
No.
I don't think so.
That's really rare.
Yeah, he might be the only one.
That's neat.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool distinction. Maybe Deshaun.
No, because he didn't have
Well, you know
playoffs.
What? Ertz had two against Ertz had two in the loss to the Cardinals in 2008. So then the question is, did Ertz have two in another game? I don't know.